And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. And certainly, my previous guest is very, very positive. Every show has a theme. Today's theme is defining styles. My first guest, Peter Noon, defined musical style during the British invasion in the 60s with Herman's Hermits. His style has an enduring legacy that we enjoy even today. My next guest defines the style that we see in the retail stores across the nation. She's an expert on which products make it into the stores and which products don't. Therefore, she is a de facto arbitrator of style. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's 805-639-0008. Janice Lears has spent over 20 years with Fortune 100 and Fortune 500 companies, the likes of Johnson & Johnson, Pillsbury, Hubline, Frito-Lay, Pepsi, and Whole Foods Markets. She's helped to create, market, sell, and distribute some of the biggest brands in the world. Things like Tylenol, Totino's, Green Giant, Smirnoff Vodka, Jose Cuervo, Fritos, Doritos, the list goes on and on and on. She's placed thousands of products into hundreds of thousands of retail stores across this country and seven other countries as well. She knows what works and what doesn't. She's a trend forecaster, and she offers ideas to help people get their products into stores. Welcome to the show, Janice. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm doing great.
Oh, good. Well, we're glad to have you here today because, you know, this is a puzzling retail environment. If you look out today, most retailers are very reluctant to hold on to too much inventory or to hold on to it for very long at all. That's why we're starting to see Black Friday sales beginning the day after Halloween. Can a new product successfully launch into stores in this kind of an environment?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think one of the things that we see out there is, you're right exactly, that they aren't holding on to inventory as long, but they're also desperately looking for new products. And I just read a research the other day that said, you know, all the consumer products companies aren't investing in new products because it's easier, frankly, for them to just go out there and keep selling what they've been selling.
Mm-hmm.
But that's left a real gap in new items out there. And that's why everyone gets so excited, even about really expensive items. You know, we've seen all of this with iPad and all these smartphones. And it's because people are really interested in new items. So there's absolutely opportunity, and possibly now more than ever.
Okay, but I mean, is there really room for a new travel pillow or a new toilet paper?
Well, only if it's unique. You know, the reality of it is retailers don't really want products unless they offer something unique to the consumer. So you can't really just bring out a me-too item. You've got to have something different about it. So, you know, maybe your travel pillow things, or maybe, you know, whatever it could do different. And then people are really into novelties. We like those things as consumers.
All right, right. And that maybe presents an opportunity for somebody who has a product to be acquired by a larger consumer products company if they've got a good enough product, doesn't it?
That's absolutely right. Absolutely. And once you build your business up large enough, that's what the larger companies do. That's what I help them do, is search out those smaller regional niche brands. And then they purchase them, and that is exactly what goes on.
Ooh, you're making the hairs on my arm stand up. That's great news. All right, let me ask you this, Janice, because you are our retailing expert for the day today. Internet retailing is growing. While it's nowhere near the size of offline retailing, it's definitely something to think about. It's something to consider. In a crowded, competitive offline retail space, when does it make sense for a product to launch online exclusively before making the leap into traditional stores?
Well, I think a lot of times people are going out there when they have a unique item that they want to get into consumers that they may not be able to get it into retail. I mean, online is about 6%. You could say anywhere from 5 to 8% of sales.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're finding people are doing now more is that they're researching things online, but they're still going to stores to buy it. So it's a great place to go test products. It's also, if you have maybe some larger end items that are more specialty items, it's a great way to go get new business. But realistically, consumers are still, they like to shop. People love to shop, and they still want to go into stores. So, and another thing to point out is if you go with a product online, you really can't take it into stores. You've got to have something unique for the stores because they don't want to compete with you online.
Ah, now that's an interesting point. But let me come back to something you said. Online retailing is minuscule compared to offline retailing. You said 5 to 8%. That's a
right.
Good number. I've heard similar numbers to that. A lot of people do research online and then go into the stores. But the big question facing the retailers who might be listening to our show today is, do they buy in the stores or do they go back online to buy online because the prices are cheaper?
Well, I think they do their research online, and you know what? That's why all these smartphones are so popular. And I've even seen that retailers now are making sure that their stores are internet capable, so that when people are bringing in these smartphones, they can actually literally search online, look for coupons, they can look for price comparisons. But typically, consumers buy in the stores.
Okay, that's good to know. Now, let me ask you to look into your crystal ball, because we're going into Black Friday, the time of the year where retailers actually make their money. What's your prognosis for this year's Christmas season?
Yeah, I really expect it to be positive. I think last year people were still saving a lot. I like the phrase that I heard the other day. It was called saving to spend, and I believe a lot of consumers have been doing that. They've been saving because they want to go spend. Now, it doesn't always mean high-ticket items, although I do think that some of the new hot items for Christmas will again be some really good gadgets, you know, along with the phones, but, you know, 3D televisions, things like that. So I really expect it to be positive.
Okay, well, that's encouraging, because we could use some good news after 2 years of being beaten up by the economy. So that's good news to hear. Right. Now, Janice, your expertise is really helping people move their products from the concept stage into the retail store. So let's say I've got some listeners who are out there who might have a new product that they want to get into retail stores. What steps would you advise them to take?
Well, I think the most important thing you want to do is go into the store where you would see your item. And really, that sounds very simplistic, but you'd be surprised how many people call me and they haven't done enough research in that way. So go into the store, see where you'd see it. You know, would it be on the shelf? Would it be on the, you know, end? Would it be on the floor? Where would it be? Mm-hmm. And then see what your competition is and see if your item can drive a uniqueness within what it's called that category, because that's how retailers look at their items in stores, is by categories. And those are like items, items that could be, in a consumer's mind, possibly interchangeable.
Okay. All right. So scope it out in the store, check out your competition, see where you want to be positioned. What other steps should one take when they're considering making this move?
And then drive the uniqueness. Make sure that you're bringing something unique to the category. So go analyze which category your product would be in. So if let's say you're shopping in a grocery store and you're going down the aisle and you're passing all the teas and things like that, you're going to the coffee category, which is one I like to bring up because I know a lot about.
Yes.
And you go look at the coffee category and there's a lot of coffees in there. Well, you have to be able to bring something unique to that shelf. So that's what I would say is really the key, is bringing something unique. Now, when you look at something unique, it could be price-related, although that's not what I recommend people really go after, because that's not, you know, sometimes that's a one-trick pony. Mm. Really, your competitors just have to lower their price. It's usually lower. But you look for something, some way to drive uniqueness in that category.
All right. Let me do something that I often do with guests on the show. Let me just throw out the name of a product, and you give me your feedback as a professional about that particular product. And the thing that leapt to mind for me was Spanx. Now, that was a unique product. Talk to us a little bit about how that got into the stores, if you would.
You're going to have to talk to me a little bit about Spanx. I hate to say it. I'm not certain.
Okay. All right. Then my bad. We should have talked about this before. But Spanx is that garment that women wear to hold in their waist and thighs underneath their clothes. And the woman who invented it was very innovative. She started in her kitchen. She needed something to kind of hold herself in. She thought, wow, wouldn't pantyhose be an interesting way of doing this? So she cut off the stockings portion of the pantyhose and used the upper portion to hold herself in, recognized that this was going to be a product, couldn't get any traction getting into the stores, but somehow or another, Oprah Winfrey heard of it and brought her on the show. And of course, as they say, the rest is history. Once you're on Oprah, that's as good as gold, and got her into the stores. So that's the brief history behind it.
Well, and right there, you can hear what she had. She had something very unique, and so it's something that the consumers wanted. She knew she had a market for it. You know, women still make the majority of purchases. She also knows that there's the trends. It's just she's actually playing on the trends within the environment of people, you know, maybe having a little bit more weight than they'd like to have. And then, of course, the golden goose she got on the Oprah show, which, you know, but she probably would have made her way anyway. She could have made her way into stores, and it really just depends on there are all kinds of different channels. And I do know what you're talking about. I just didn't really think of the name, but I've seen them in all kinds of department stores, and that's probably where she would have made her way in. And so, you know, that's why she had something very unique that was riding on trends, which is great.
Gotcha. All right. Well, let's get back to something that I do know you know a lot about, and that is some of the biggest mistakes that vendors make when they're pitching products to stores. What are some of the top mistakes that people make when they're doing this?
Well, I think probably the biggest mistake I hear is that people haven't done enough homework. They think, okay, I've got this really great idea for a barbecue sauce, let's say, but they don't think about, okay, what's out there? How is mine unique? So they don't do the proper planning. I think that's the biggest thing I run into with entrepreneurs and small businesses. And then also I would say that they just haven't given enough thought to all of the marketing aspects. You know, what's the right price for this product? And it could even be in the packaging. Have they given the proper time and planning to the right packaging? So it's really, it always boils down to the four marketing P's.
Which are?
Product, price, promotion, and place.
There you go. So. All right. Okay. Product, price, promotion, and place, the four P's. Okay.
Right.
Now, let me ask you, though, because you mentioned it in our discussion about Spanx, is the Spanx probably got their way into retail stores via the department stores. There are actually different ways to approach different types of stores. So let me just throw some categories out at you. There's the independent retail store. They're the discount stores, stores like Target, Walmart. They're the warehouse stores like Costco, Sam's Clubs, and they're grocery stores. Do you have to have a different approach for going into each of those different channels of distribution?
Yeah, you really do. It depends on that. Now, I guess it means on what's the difference in approach. You will want to do the same homework for all of them. You still need to do the exact same work. You need to understand what the category is. But the way you'll look at approaching them may be different as far as your marketing aspect. So most of them have the same buying processes. They may have a little bit different. They may want you to send in a presentation or send in some samples, and then they'll decide if they'll give you an appointment. And some of them, even like my former employer, Whole Foods, they tended to go into regional stores, or you may go into a local store first, you may go into regional. They don't buy a lot through headquarter calls. But in that respect, there are different ways of looking at how you'll promote the product, but they do kind of all have a very similar process of how to get in.
All right, so the getting in is maybe a little bit varied, but it's similar between all the channels of distribution.
It really is.
All right. We're talking to Janice Lears, everybody. She is a product expert. She's talking about helping us get our product into stores and now, if you wanted to do that. Janice, what are some of the economics of placing a product into a retailer? Because I know there's margins and there's discounts and there's couponing and in-store promotions and things like that. This might be, if not new, certainly intimidating to a lot of the listeners that are out there. So what are some of the buzzwords of the economics behind getting a product into stores?
Well, you just named quite a few good ones, really. I mean, you start with a price, and then you really look at your margin. So you want to look at how much you could make. But you also want to look at the retailer's margin. So they will want to be able to make whatever their standard is. You know, and it depends on which category, what product. But in those it can vary, but let's say it's 50% margin. Mm-hmm. And so you will want to look at that. You'll also want to look at how you can promote it, because you don't want to just put an item in, let's say put it on the shelf, and then it just sits there. You got to make sure that people know about it. And you can do that with lots of ways through retailers, and that's why they're such a great vehicle to get product into, because they have things set up already. They advertise regularly. They have advertisements on TV. They have advertisements in newspapers and magazines, even on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you probably are getting coupons all the time, too, on the Internet. So it's an established way to market your product, and so you need to have a budget for that, too. But that should all be built into the margin of your own margin. So, and I always tell entrepreneurs, their first year or what time period, you know, go ahead and spend so that you don't have to make, you're not going to make a lot of money then if you want to go and just build your sales and your volume and your consumer base. And then you can think about how you can build ways to build that profit into it. If you're lucky enough to have a lot of profit into the product already, that's great.
All right. We're talking to Janice Lears, everybody. How to get your product into stores now. Janice, if people are listening to the sound of your voice, like what they hear, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
They can go look for information. They can get some free videos and information. I also sell product to teach people how to do this at yourproductinstoresnow.com.
Slow down. Your product?
Instoresnow.com.
All right, great. Now, let's go back, because you have a very in-depth background in brand marketing. It goes all the way back literally to your childhood. Tell us your story in brand marketing and how you got into the business of consulting people on how to get their products into stores.
Okay, well, I was actually raised by a marketer, So my father was one of the creators of, do you remember Mrs. Olson back in the Folgers days in the 60s?
Of course I do.
Yes. So he was one of the creators of Mrs. Olson. So I grew up around a marketer. He worked for Folgers for 37 years, 32, 37, can't remember. But anyway, and really that's what I did. I used to go down to the Folgers plant with him in Kansas City, and I'd watch those coffee cans go down the line, and I was just fascinated with that whole process. So when a lot of kids were having lemonade stands, I instead had a shampoo stand. So, and I had five sisters. So the only way I really had shampoo is I would borrow little bits of their shampoo and create someone a custom-made shampoo.
A born entrepreneur. I like that.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So I sold Pet Rocks. I sold Willy Wonka candy bars, all those things. But I have been fascinated with consumer products ever since I can remember.
I see. Now, you worked for some of the big Fortune 100 and Fortune 500 companies. What made you decide to branch off from that and go out on your own to help others put their products into stores?
Well, I had been doing that for 20 years, and I had worked for, just like you said, a lot of big companies. I started with Johnson & Johnson, and I was fascinated with the way that those products were delivered. So I was always looking for, I was with each of those companies a good period of time, and then went to go run several of Whole Foods Markets companies, their vitamin companies, and then their coffee company. And I just felt like I had kind of gone the gamut of learning, of doing all of those things. And I really just, more and more people would talk to me about how to do get their own products out there. And I just found that I became more and more fascinated with that. So I decided to take my own creativity and go out there, and actually thought I would even have my own product. But frankly, I only get word of mouth. I don't even advertise. And I get so much interest from other people that I've just really stayed doing this.
Wow. Well, you truly are an expert. You have a wealth of knowledge. We've been talking to Janet Lears, everybody. Your product, instoresnow.com, is her website. Check it out. Free videos and information up there. Janice, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you.